Okay, so thank you very much for the precise pronunciation of my Chinese name. I'm Monsieur Fontaine. Okay, and thanks a lot for the invitation. This is a joint work. So joint with Preman Kasai and Shu Sasaki. So in the morning, Preman explained the modularity lifting theorem for weight form over converting the Hilbert modular forms in the unramified case. And so now I'm going to explain the terminally ramified case. So let's fix the notation. Let L over Q be a totally real field of degree, well, D equals L over Q. And let me choose a prime P at least a 3, which is unramified in L. And I also need a finite extension K over QP. So this is going to be my coefficient field of periodic Galois representation. So OK, K, and MK. OK, so so first of all, let me recall the statement of the main theorem. So let rho GL to OK be a continuous periodic Galois representation. So continuous such that, first of all, rho is rho ramified at finite many places, and second, for each place above P, the restriction of rho to a decomposition group at V is direct sum of two characters, alpha V beta V. Well, alpha V beta V, so two characters, G L V to OK cross characters, and such that alpha V over beta V is terminally ramified. So this is what I mean in the terminally ramified case. And of course, we have to suppose it's distinct modulo the maxima idea and K. Okay? So in Peyman's case, he suppose that both characters are unramified. So now we can improve a little. Of course, we should suppose rho bar is modular. More precisely, we need ordinary modular. So this means there exists an ordinary classical Hilbert modular form such that the rho bar is congruent to this Galois representation associated to this Hilbert modular form. And we also need a rho bar restricted to GL P minus 1 over 2 P is absolutely irreducible. Okay. And by a simple argument in group theory, this is equivalent to say that you add the p-th root of Eulity. Okay. It's the same thing to require that this guy is absolutely irreducible. Okay, so under these assumptions, then we can show that rho is modular of weight 1. Okay. So by this, I mean there exists Here for the modulo form f of weight 1 and the level gamma 1 and p with n prime to p such that rho equals rho f. Okay, so maybe up to some twist by characters because. Oh, yeah, you are right, excuse me. So I should require that image of initials are finite. Thank you. So this is crucial hypothesis. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so just explained the payment in the morning. This theorem is due to payment itself. When alpha v, beta v are both unramified. And there is a similar result proved by Pinoni quite recently. And in this case, he supposed P can be ramified in L, but with small ramification index. With ramification index at most p minus 1. And alpha v, beta v unramified. Okay? So in some sense, our results and the Pinoni's results are both generalizations of Peyman's result in different directions. Okay, so now maybe it's before I explain the proof of theorem A, let me explain some application of theorem A to the Strong-Artin conjecture over totally review. So, let's start here. This is called theorem B. I suppose 5 is unramified in our totally real field L. And suppose we have a complex Galois representation over L, which is continuous for the complex topology. And we suppose it's totally odd, such that, first of all, prod rho from GL to PGL2, C has image A5, the translating group of five letters, for any place dividing 5, I suppose that the image of prod rho restrict to a decomposition group at V has order 2, and the quadratic extension fixed by the kernel of prod rho restricted to LV is not LV radical 5. Okay, so that's a strange assumption. Then under this hypothesis, rho is modular. of grid 1. Okay. So the key point here is, of course, of course, we should use theorem A to prove theorem B, and the missing point is the residue modularity at 5, and which is very hard. But fortunately, in the modular curve case, Taylor has an approach to prove certain residue modularity results for the prime 5, and we generalize this argument in the keyboard case. So theorem A plus some residue modularity at 5 at p equals to 5 will imply theorem B. Okay. Okay, so now I'm going to explain the proof of theorem A. Strategy. Once theorem A is proved, I think to get theorem B is somehow quite a standard argument for experts. Strategy for theorem A. And of course, the inert case is the essential case for us. So in the following, I will just suppose P is inert in L, and the degree is at least 2, of course. Okay, so let me just have a brief recall of the main steps in the proof. First of all, we should use the theory of companion forms for Hilbert modular forms, which is due to Toby G, and plus some standard Hilbert family argument to produce two over-convergent to ordinary over convergent Hilbert modular form. So Hilbert eigenforms, so which satisfy UP of F alpha equals alpha P F alpha, and UP F beta equals beta P F beta. Okay. So my notation is slightly different from that of Payman. So in Payman's lecture, he used F and G to denote this F alpha and F beta. So, but I think it's more instructive to denote in this way. And so morally, this F alpha and F beta in the unramified case are two P stabilizations of the required F. And okay, and now let's just make a quick remark. So since we are going to produce some classical Hilbert modular form of gamma 1 NP level, but actually I will just work on the Iwahori level. So the trick is, we have a lateral projection from the Hilbert modular variety of level gamma 1 NP to the Iwahori level, and we can view all our forms F alpha and F beta as sections over certain well, neighborhood of the ordinary locals of 1p, well, over the ordinary locus of the bundle pi lower star omega. So omega is the Hodge bundle, Hodge-Lyman bundle. So we just the pull back, the push forward the omega here to get some vector bundle on the Urahori level, so we can just work on this because we are more familiar with the geometry on this guy. Okay. So keep this in mind. The second step of our argument will be the following. We will show that any finite slope over convergent Hilbert modulo form, Hilbert eigenform, Hilbert eigenform can be extended to a very large region well here denoted by capital sigma in the rigid analytic variety of the Urahori level and by very large I mean more precisely, I require that the sigma intersect with W inverse of sigma. So W is the involution on the Urahori level. Okay. So it's non-empty. And it also requires that any section over sigma union with W inverse sigma extend automatically to the whole region. Okay. There we go. Well. And let me remind you that the region given by Payman in the morning, denoted by R, does not satisfy the second condition. It's not large enough. So in this talk, most of my time will be spent to explain what is this required region sigma and what does it look like and how it, how large it is compared with the Payman's region. Okay. So this is the second step. It's called the analytic continuation step. And so after we have done this, there exists a computation around unramified costs to show that you can produce certain linear combinations, say F and G, of these two eigenforms, F alpha and F beta, such that morally we have F equals WG over the intersection of sigma with W inverse sigma, because a priori, F is defined over sigma and W of G is defined here. So there is intersection of the two regions and we can glue them over this intersection. And okay, then finally we can conclude. So, because, well, you know, by this fact, F is defined over a priori sigma, but by this gluing condition, you see, F is actually defined over sigma union with W inverse sigma. By this fact, it's automatically defined over the whole rigid and analytic variety of Iwahori level. So it's classical. And since it's a linear combination of F alpha and F beta, we can come back to F. We can express also F alpha and F beta as linear combination of F and G. So both F alpha and F beta are classical. Okay? So in the following, I will explain the second point. Okay, so for this, I will record the parametrization of this rigid analytic reality by, I call it partial degrees. Okay, so what does this mean? First of all, let me consider, just K. A finite extension of Q P to the D. Q P to the D is the unique unramified extension of Q P of degree D. Okay, so it's a finite extension. And now suppose you have a rigid analytic point of gamma naught P, rig. Okay, by another point. By this I mean actually both A and H are defined over the ring of integers of K. And now let's consider omega H, so which is defined to be the module of invariant differential of H over OK. This E means the unit section. And so this guy is an OK tensor with OL module. And okay, so you can decompose this ring according to the different embeddings of L into K. Okay, so okay. So now I will just denote the site of embeddings of L into into K. So this site is actually isomorphic to the site of embedding of OL modulo P into the residual field of K. So by this, I suppose, since we suppose P is inert, this is just the finite field. And we get a set which is isomorphic to Z-modic dV. And there is a natural Frobenius action on this site, which sends I to I plus 1. So this is just a convenient index. Okay. And so we can decompose this omega h according to this different embedding, omega hi, and each omega hi is isomorphic to OK modulo some element ai, and I define degree I h to be the periodic variation of this element ai. This is a well-defined number between 0 and 1, and which is even rational. Okay, I gave up. Thank you. Too hard. Okay, so this degree function has been well studied by Johann Falk, and in his definition, he defines the total degree is just the sum of these partial degrees. Okay, and there are many nice properties of these partial degrees. For example, if you consider the quotient of A equals P over H, this partial degree is just 1 minus of the partial degree of H. And also, suppose you have two subgroups contained in the P portion of the same abelian variety, okay, with H different from H prime. And then for any index I, we have a very simple relation, like P to the J degree of I plus J H plus degree of I plus J H prime is nice than D minus 1. P to the J, so which is P to the B minus 1, P minus 1. Okay? So this relation is can be proved by using Reynolds theory of group schemes of FP to the D vector space of dimension 1. There is a very explicit description of this group scheme. And also the morphism between them. Okay, so this relation is quite important for us, because in order to understand the actions of the UP operator on the analytic variety X naught P, it's important to understand, once you are given the partial degrees of the one subgroup H, where are the partial degrees, what are the other partial degrees of H prime. Okay. So in this way, we can get a parametrization, the partial degrees of this rigid analytic variety to this supercube, d-dimensional supercube. I remind you that in Kasai's talk, he defined he mentioned a certain valuation on this variety. But his valuation is actually 1 minus, well, the partial degree I define here. Okay, so it's just a different terminology. But I think the best way to understand this is using partial degree, because it's more geometric. Okay. Okay, so another fact that Payman mentioned is there exists a stratification of the spatial fiber of this Hilbert modulo variety of your Hori level such that the strata of core dimension n is on bijection with faces of this supercube. Okay, so here there is another important property that I forgot to tell you is if you know all the partial degrees of H equals 1, it's equivalent to say for any I, it's equivalent to say H is multiplicative. And equivalently, if all the partial degrees of H equals 0, if and only if H is a tau. Okay, so let me remind you this picture in the case of D equals 2. So we have a square. Here we have 1, 0, 1, 1. 0, 1, and 0, 0. In this notation, okay, so we have three strata of core dimension 0, and here it's just the strata I called x naught ordinary multiplicative, so which means it's the cube over region, so it's order region A H such that H is multiplicative. And here we have the ordinary A tau locus, so such that H is A tau. So in this picture, each vertex point corresponds to a stratum of core dimension 0, and each edge corresponds to a stratum of core dimension 1. Okay, so for us, what is more important are the core dimension 0 and the core dimension 1 stratum. So I describe them more precisely. The core dimension 0 stratum in bijection with, of course, vertex points of this supercube. And so it's in bijection with the subsides of I, subsides in this. So the correspondence is given in this way. If you have a subside, I consider well, the stratum I denoted by W sigma I comma I C. So this, by this I mean this consists of all the ridge points such that degree I of H equals 1 if I belong to capital I, 0 if I belongs to the complement. Oh, always forgot. Okay, so next thing which is important for us is how the partial Hausdorff invariants behave. On this strata on the special fiber of the Yahara level reality. Okay, so I just record briefly what are partial Hausdorff invariants. By this I mean you consider, well, the universal Abelian variety over this Hilbert modular variety, and you have the omega of this guy, so over x naught. Sorry. Okay. And you have a decomposition of this according to the different embeddings of L into, well, say, FP bar. Well, and you have the Frobenius homomorphism. So. And this will induces a map from Frobenius homomorphism, so it's going to be to omega. Am I right? Okay, sorry. So. Okay. Sorry. We should consider the opposite way. So it's a sphere shibon will induce omega this guy into twist by P. And so if you decompose this, morphism, you will get HI from omega universal I minus 1 to omega, so this twist by P. Oh, sorry, this is I minus 1. Okay, so by this, this is R. Partial Hausdorff invariant. Any questions? Sorry. Yes, you're right. Yes, thank you. Okay, so let me describe. So on this strata, the situation is slightly complicated. We know that HI is identically zero modulo P for I belonging to this subset. And HI does not vanish anywhere. It's non-vanishing anywhere for or I belonging to this subset. and the other HIs are undetermined. So which means they can vanish somewhere and does not vanish at other places. Okay. Oh, sorry. So an example is, for instance, if D equals to 6, and you consider the subset 1, 1, 5, or 1, 2, 5. Then, well, you know, HI identically 0 for I equals to 3 and 6, and HI does not vanish, non-vanishing. For I equals to 2, 4, and the other guys are undetermined. So this is important for us because I'm going to define the generic part of this strata to be the locus, well, is not zero, is not vanished for any I. Okay, so roughly speaking, this generic part is the locus where all the undetermined partial Hausdorff invariants does not vanish. So the complement of this generic part is cut out by the vanishing of certain Hausdorff invariants. So they are just the divisors. Okay, so this is situation for codimension zero stratum. And let's consider also codimension one stratum. So which are in bijection of the pairs like this. Here, I naught is certain index here, and I is a subset of Z modulus DZ. The corresponding one-dimensional co-dimensional one stratum is given like this. The tube over this co-dimensional one stratum is given by the reached points such that degree I of H equals to 1 if I belongs to capital I, and it's between 0 and 1 if I equals I naught, and 0 otherwise. Okay, so such a pair determines completely such a stratum. And you can define similarly the generic part of such stratum, and this is open dense. So, in the same way, but more complicated. So, I want to explain this. Well, now there is an important definition for us. Suppose you have a co-dimension one stratum, and we say it's bad if I naught plus 1 does not belong to the capital I. And we put I naught I generic prime to be just the generic part if it's good. I mean, it's not bad. And otherwise, I just put it to be a so let me describe it. H to be just a part of the generic part such that a degree I not H does not belong to 1 over P sigma so 1 D minus 1 I. Okay, so it's a so we just exclude a very short interval. So this number is less than 1 over p minus 1. It's really very small. Okay, so with this preliminary, I can give you the definition of the capital sigma. So put the capital sigma the union of the generic part of all codimension zero stratum and the tube over the generic part of codimension one stratum but with a prime here. So that means if the stratum is bad, you just exclude a certain interval. Otherwise, it's okay. Okay, sorry. And also, well, there is an actual condition. Sorry. So sigma I, you know, d to the 1, p to the I, to the d. Okay, so I mean you just take the part with total degree greater than this number. Okay, so I mean well I will explain. So this is a very very ugly reading. I'm sorry, so but it works. Now, the main technical proposition one is any finite slope over convergent Hilbert eigenform F extends to this ugly sigma and the norm of this sigma is bounded. So I remind you that this sigma is not quite compact, so the second part of the statement is actually not formal of any weight. Okay, so and K proposition 2 is this sigma is large enough. First of all, this ugly sigma contains the region R introduced by Kasai this morning. So in particular, this means sigma intersects with W inverse of sigma is not empty because it's already true for R And most importantly, we have H naught sigma W inverse sigma of any pi star omega k equals H naught p rig pi star omega k. So if you have a form which is defined over the union of these two regions, then it's automatically defined over the whole region. The reason is the complement of this union in this Iwahori level variety is contained in the tube of a coordination two string on the special fiber. Okay. So I have several minutes. So what I'm going to do now is to give you a picture of this ugly sigma. What does it look like? So in the case d equals 2, you have a square like this. 1 0 0 1 1 1, and in the case of d equals 2, this sigma is actually just the region R, and in this picture it looks like here, and until 1 over p here, the same thing until 1 over p. But as explained by Payman this morning, on this vertex point, it's not the whole vertex point. We just take the generic part. Okay? So this is the case of d equals 2. In the case of d equals 3, the picture is more complicated. Not good at. So let's just first establish some axes. Okay. So here is the point with coordinate 1, 1, 1. All the partial degrees are 1. So it's the ordinary multiplicative locus. Here we have 0, 1, 1, and here we have 0, 1, 0. Okay, so in this picture, there are three bad edges, three bad co-dimension 1 stratum. Here, this guy is bad, and symmetrically, this one is also bad, and also this one is bad. But not actually. This, all the edges connecting to zero are also bad. So there are six, sorry. And the region of Kasai is somehow like this. Until p plus p squared 1. And symmetrically here, and here, so all the green parts except the generic part, and this ugly sigma will contain more regions, so something like p plus square 1, and here minus 1, so this part is included, and also for this bad one. Okay, so let me just draw like this, and this bad one. So, okay. So all the edges except for some small intervals, and starting from d equals 4, this with sigma will contain more regions, much more regions than with R. And this is why we can do the tamely ramified case with this sigma, because it's already large enough. And in the remaining 3 minutes, I will just indicate one of the key points in proving proposition two. Key point in the proof of proposition two. So the point is, for any for any subset belonging to in Z modulo dz, which is not empty, not equal to the whole thing, we need to prove that we need to show that W sigma I C generic part uniting with W inverse of the generic part, but with the row of I and S is switched. So this guy is open stance in this codimension zero strata of complement codimension two. This is the whole point, because we have excluded all the complement of the generic part. So our sigma, and which is equivalent to say that the divisors defined by the partial Hausdorff invariants for any I belong to and this side of divisors W star HJ for any j belong to I sigma I C. These two sides of divisors meet transversally. Okay? So because the complement of the generic part of W sigma I C is the union of these divisors, and the other guy is the union of these divisors. So we have to show each subset of this, each pair of these two subsets of divisors will cut transversely. So the region where F is not defined is a tube over a codimension two thing. And this is not formal. We will use an explicit computation around a super special point by using some explicit coordinates and a very explicit description of this divisor around a super special point. Okay, so I think I should stop here. Thank you.